Well, it's a joy to be here. I've enjoyed these testimonies, haven't you? Amen. I thought about several verses of Scripture as they were testifying tonight. And let me say, first of all, sure is a joy to be here. Amen. A blessing to be here. And we got in a little accident. We didn't have an accident, but we got looked like a rollback truck with a car on top of it, run off of the bank and went down the bank, and then he stopped, and the car flipped. Looked like the car flipped off the rollback. It was upside down. Hope nobody's in it. But anyway, we had to take a detour. But I'm glad the Lord blessed us, and we get able to be here on time. Brother Barry, thank you for the opportunity and the blessing to be here. I thought about several of the testimonies and individuals trying to change their own life and trying to, you know, make themselves better. And I guess everyone tries that. That's our human nature. I thought about Brother Brad's wife. I thought about her testimony, trying to do better, you know, always trying to do better. Yes. And I guess every one of us have that in our nature. But the Bible says in the book of Titus, chapter number 3, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish. Yes, don't we do foolish things? We ourselves are sometimes foolish. Yeah. Then he says, disobedient, deceived. Then he says, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Yeah. That's where we were. Yeah. There's people sitting in church doing everything that I just said. With a profession of faith. Yeah. All of that. But then the next verse says, but after that, and the connotation is, but after all of that, after all of that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. After all of that, I got a message I preach on. After all of that, after all of your sin, your wickedness, deception, foolishness, after all of that, the kindness and love of God our Savior will appear and does appear. Boy, I'm glad He appeared to me one day. Glad He saved me by His amazing, wonderful, marvelous grace. Day of my life where sin abounded. But I'm glad the Bible says that, amen, the law entered that sin might abound, but there's another one of them big old buts in the Bible. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Boy, I love that. I've really learned to love that verse in the last year. I've been preaching on that off and on for a year now. Amen. That verse of Scripture. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad to be in the house of God. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the grace of God. Amen. And I appreciate everything the Lord's done. I appreciate, you know, the testimonies. The Bible says, therefore, if any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You'll be a new creature. You get born again. Get saved. Old things will pass away. Has a double connotation in that passage. Old things will immediately pass away. And then old things will continually pass away out of your life. I've not always been what I am right now. Are you listening to me? Even since I got saved and got right with God and started serving the Lord, old things have continued to pass away. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get saved, there'll be some old things pass away right then. Right then. Amen. Yeah, God don't just wean you off of some things. Amen. He takes it away. Hallelujah. That's right. But I'm glad if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm glad for that tonight. I appreciate the blessing of the Lord. I appreciate the good singing. My hallelujah. I appreciate God and the good singing tonight. And I've not struggled on what to preach, but I know what God has settled me on tonight is going to be a little bit different, but I believe that it's needful. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter number 2. Something we did about 6 years ago, I started again last Sunday night. You know, in chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of the prophets of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein." He said, "For the time is at hand." And about 6 years ago, I guess it was, we read through openly. I read aloud. I read the book of the Revelation before I preach. I read a chapter or two every night service before I preach. So we started that again last week. And I told him, I said, "I'm going to try not to make many comments." And that's a little hard for a preacher. I said, "I just want to read it because God pronounces special blessings." All the epistles were read out loud to the churches. All the epistles that Paul wrote were read out loud to the congregations. But here, specifically, God tells us, amen, I believe this congregation, I believe every congregation will benefit from reading the book of the Revelation. But when I got to chapter number 2, I was reading and this week, and just wanted to read over it before I read to the congregation. And God spoke to my heart. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, let's stand. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Right. Nevertheless, I am somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Let's bow for prayer. Father, in heaven, in Jesus' name, come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. I'm glad you're still walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Lord, I'm glad you manifest yourself, Lord, to your people. And Lord, we're grateful for that blessing tonight. Lord, help us now in the preaching of the word. Guide my mind. Pray the Holy Spirit would help us to say what needs to be said and what you'd have said in this service. Lord, speak definitely, clearly to every heart. Lord, give each one exactly what they need from you tonight. Now, Lord, give liberty, Lord, receptive hearts. We'll glorify you, praise you, and honor you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight out of these verses, but particularly verse number 1 tonight. I probably won't get much further than verse number 1. Now, I want to preach on the stars in the hand of the Savior. The stars in the hand of the Savior. Now, it's very clear in our text tonight as John begins to pin down this great message to the seven churches and seven church ages. I want to say it seems to me that John puts great emphasis upon two particular things in the very outset of his letters to the churches. Now, let me say, John is just simply doing what the Lord commanded him to do in chapter number 1. He said in verse number 19, "Write the things which thou hast seen." And that's what he wrote in chapter 1. Yes. What he saw. "Write the things which thou hast seen." Then he says, and the things which are. So now he's writing about things that are present around him. The churches. Yes, sir. Seven church ages, of course. Churches of Asia Minor. Let me say this tonight. And then he tells him, and you'll find this in chapter number 5 through the end of chapter number 22. He said, write the things which shall be hereafter. Yes. And so that's sort of an order. Yes. Amen. G. Campbell Morgan has a good 3-point outline, overview of the book of the Revelation. And I thought it's really good. He said in the chapter number 1, God gives us the glory of Christ. Yep. Chapter 2, chapter 3, he gives us the grace of Christ, the dispensation of grace. Then chapter number 4, to the end of the book, the government of Christ.
That's good. That's good.
And but I want to say tonight, John is writing here, and when he starts out this letter, to the different churches, he seems to put great emphasis upon a couple of things that I'm interested in, and that is the stars, and then him who walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. That's none other than the Savior.
Yes, sir.
In Revelation chapter 1, turn back if you will. I say turn back. If you got a Scofield Bible, you have to turn back. If you don't have one, I don't know where you turn. But here in verse number 20, the Bible says, it's been the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. So I'm interested in those stars that are in the right hand of the Savior. Who are those stars? Well, I want to say, we know, without a doubt, that the one who walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Did he not say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? So that you may boldly say, I will not fear what men shall do unto me. And so the Lord has promised his presence. We are never out of his presence. Once we're saved, by the grace of God, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit upon us under the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit takes up residence, and he wants to be present in our life when we let him. But we are never separated from God. Never. So Jesus is always with us. Let me say this. The 7 stars represent the servants of God. Now, God couldn't name all of them. That would cover the 7 church ages and the whole period of time that covers the dispensation of grace and him working upon the earth. God couldn't name all of his preachers in every church that represent him, his true servants. So he just sort of uses an analogy. Wonder how many stars they are up there. Wonder how many stars there are out there in space. Well, sort of like preachers. I've never seen so many churches in my life over about a 5-mile stretch coming in on 70 into Greenville. My God, there's every flavor. I mean, there's chocolate and vanilla, strawberry. I mean, you name it. I've never seen so many. I mean, there's a church. I mean, about every quarter of a mile, there's another church with a different name. I was thinking, coming down the road, told my wife, have you ever seen so many churches in your life? Well, there's a preacher somewhere in every one of those churches. Now, whether God called or not, I don't know. A lot of them in good churches are not called. They go into the ministry for a profession. Listen, if you're in the ministry as a profession, you better get out. You better get out in a hurry, friend. Amen? But I want to say tonight, he's talking about his servants. And if you look at this passage law first mentioned in man, I believe he puts the emphasis where it needs to be put. Now, we talk about the church at Ephesus and how they left their first love. And we emphasize that they probably left their first love for Jesus Christ. Appreciation for him and love for him. Respect and honor for him. But I believe here there's also an application. I believe if there's ever been a time in the history of the church where Christians have been, in so-called Christians in our day, have forgotten about the importance of the men of God, it's in our generation. I'm not here to blow my own horn. I don't even have one. But I'll certainly blow somebody else's horn if it needs to be blown. I want to tell you, we're living in a day where even our good churches, fundamental, Bible-believing churches, I want to tell you, in our day, are taking one of the greatest blessings and one of the greatest privileges in all the world that God gives us, taking it for granted. And that's the men of God. The men of God. You know, over in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 9, verse number 6, Saul has went out with a servant, and he's gone out looking for Kish, his father's asses, that got lost. They went astray. And they've looked everywhere, and they can't find them. So they come down to this particular place, and this servant says unto Saul, he said, there's a man of God in this city. 54 times in the Bible. No, 74 times. In the Bible, God talks about the man of God. The man of God. Oh, he talks about that man of God. Let me turn there just for a moment. I may not get back to that. But he places great emphasis upon the man of God. He said, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. And he's an honorable man. All that he saith surely cometh to pass. Now let us go thither peradventure. He can show us our way that we should go. And then said Saul to his servant, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? Even Saul knew if they was going to go visit the man of God, they need to be ready. Because he's important. He said, for the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? So even in the Old Testament, God put great emphasis upon the man of God. The man of God. Let me hear him say, you find that the man of God and the manifest presence of God, John puts in the same sentence, in the same breath, the first verse that he has to say anything to about the church, or has anything to say about to the church. So he emphasizes that there have been two great things. Let me say this. A church ain't going to be much of a church without both of them. The servant of God and the presence of God. Something that really bothers me over in our area, I don't know if it's like that over here or not, but there's churches in our area that have learned to get along without a pastor. They got a big-headed deacon, you know, that's running everything. Last time I was preaching a revival meeting, you know, and I got off on some of these backslid deacons full of the devil, you know. Deacons that's full of the devil. And this deacon spoke out in the meeting, and he cried wolf. I mean, it's like I hit him with a rock. He cried out. He said, I guess this is Bastard Deacon Week. I knew right off he needed to get saved and right with God. Sure enough, after about 3 weeks after I left, he got a group together. They run the preacher off. It's Bastard Deacon Week. He should have got saved. That's what he should have done, instead of getting mad. But let me say tonight that the Lord, in our place, in our area, there are churches. I know a church right now. Listen to me now. And they had a good man, brought him in as pastor. They got $1 million in the bank. Country church got $1 million in the bank. And they've had $1 million for a number of years, probably more than that now. Brought a preacher in. They had a former pastor, stayed there 20 years. They bought him one car in 20 years, and they never paid him over $250 a week for 20 years he was there. That's why they had $1 million in the bank, Brother Radcliffe. And he took sick and had to leave and finally died. So they went without a preacher for a while. Then they got another retired preacher in, and he come in, and he's telling me about it. He's a good brother, good preacher, old-fashioned. He's up in his 70s. But they brought him in, Brother Ackley. And he'd been there about 2 months. He went to church on one Sunday morning, and the deacon come up and said, "Oh, by the way, we got somebody else going to preach for us this morning." He said, "Do what?" He said, "Yeah, we called a man from down here at the school, and he's going to preach for us this morning." They just called a preacher. They got a pastor. They didn't say nothing to the pastor. Pastor had nothing to do with it. They called a man in to preach, fill the pulpit that morning. Well, he put a stop to that. But let me say, I told him just not long ago, he's left there now. And I said, "How's things going at the church?" He said, "It ain't going at all. I'm not there anymore." He said, "They don't want a pastor." He said, "All they want is a preacher." He said, "I never was a pastor. I was just a preacher." He said, "They won't let nobody pastor that church." Another church in that area, Mountain Church, it split. Preacher had to leave. They got about half the congregation that wants to be old-fashioned, conservative, Bible-believing. Then you got half the congregation wants to go contemporary. My God, you got 15 or 20 people and you want to have a contemporary service. Some of the stupidest ideas I've ever heard of in my life. Got one deacon that, hey, is trying to lead the church. It's been the old time way. Got another deacon that he's wanting to, hey, go, you know, he's wanting to go with this new modern singing. And you talk about a gong. And about half of the church is gone. A gong. Y'all know what a gong is, don't you? Y'all ever heard that before? A gong. Y'all don't know Preacher Banks, do you? Me and Preacher Banks is down at Santee Cooper fishing one day. Wind's blowing about 20 miles an hour. I ran back with a level wine reel. About the time I threw that worm in there, there's a puff of wind come in, white capping that high, and it just blew that worm plumb back on that other side of the boat, and my fishing reel went Pfft. He said, "What's wrong, preacher?" I said, "I got a gong." He about fell out of the boat. He said, "I ain't heard that since I was a little boy." A gong. That means something that's almost beyond repair. You know what I had to do? Take out my pocket knife. I just reached in there after about 10 men fooling with, reached in there and cut about half of the line off of it, got it cleaned up and started over. That's about what needs to be done in some of these churches. They need a good. No, they need a spiritual enema is what they need. Amen. That's exactly right. You know. Man of God, come in there full of the Holy Ghost and the good red hot word of God. Flush them out, amen. That's what mom and daddy used to do with us when we got sick. That's right. Hey, when mom and daddy looked at us, they looked at our top lip. If I could have grown a mustache when I was 5, I would have. Because that's what they do. Mom and daddy look at our lip. If it's the least bit pale, least bit white, get the turpentine. Turpentine and vinegar and sugar. Teaspoonful of sugar and about 5 drops of turpentine. Me and my 3 brothers, all 3 have battled stomach trouble all of our lives. But some of these church members need a good cleaning out. Some of these churches do too. John starts out, have been dealing with first things first. What's important in the church? Whoa, we can bypass the preacher. And we can work around, you know, the presence of God. We don't necessarily, you know, we've learned how to have church and have a crowd and get professions without either one of the most important elements. But let me say this tonight. If you look on down here, there's one thing, and I'll show you how important the man of God is. And by the way, that's the ministry of that local church that God uses. God ministers to that church, every church, through his man and through his ministry gift. By the way, the Bible says he that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens. And the Bible says, and he gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the Spirit, now the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. God ministered to his church through his servant, through that minister, through that ministry gift that God gives him. Let me say this to this church tonight. I thought about this today sitting in my study. You are doubly blessed. Listen real clear to this preacher now. Rogersville Baptist Temple. Is that what it is? I get Tabernacle and Temple. Sometimes I get them mixed up. But I'm going to tell you something. You are doubly blessed. You know why? Because your pastor, God has given him a gift of pastoring, and he's given him a gift of evangelism. You are doubly blessed. Now, a lot of people can't handle that. A lot of people don't like their preacher gone preaching. But I'm going to tell you, God has blessed you, honored you in a very special way by giving you, amen, a man who's doubly gifted. God has given him a pastoral ministry gift as well as a ministry gift of evangelism. That's rare. That's rare. Rare. And God's using him. And you need to support him. And you need to pray for him. And you need to stand behind him. And you don't need to give him any trouble or cause him any worry. Hey, you need to be faithful to the church with the man of God's away. Preaching that. Thank God you'll be here praying for him.
Good.
You shouldn't be complaining that he's not here. You ought to be praising God. Hey, because sometimes, some of these days at the judgment seat, every soul he wins, every time God puts on him and God used him to help somebody, you're going to be rewarded one day for that. He's sowing seed. You're his pastor. You're taking care. You're connected to him. God's going to bless this church if you'll stand behind the man of God. Let me, boy, I'm not even got no, I don't even have the first point yet. Let me hurry. God says it's so important that if they don't repent, what's he going to do? Send fire out of heaven, burn them up. Something worse than that.
Yeah.
You know what he said he'd do? Remove thy candlestick out of his place. I know that's talking about, wait a minute now. Everybody says that's talking about Jesus. His place.
No.
Take him out of his place. Ain't one problem with that. You can't take him out of nowhere.
No.
And you can't put him nowhere. He's an omnipresent God. Brother Kanoy used to say the only problem that God's ever had going anywhere, he's always bumping into himself because he's already there. You can't take an omnipresent God out of anywhere, but we know about his manifest presence, but he's talking about his presence, his ministry, his working through that preacher, that ministry gift. God can remove that burning, shining candlestick out of his place. God working through that preacher, that man of God, and through that ministry gift, that it covers all of this. Let me say, if they do not repent, that is. And I believe all my heart, I've seen some churches that misused and abused and used the man of God to the point where God took him out of that church and left them with nothing. I've seen churches flourish and grow and souls be saved and lives changed. And God bless the church. Then they start taking the man of God for granted and they abuse him and his family. They don't treat him right. They mistreat him. I've seen in my ministry, I've seen God take them out of those churches and watch those churches die down to nothing. Oh, some of these, super spiritual preachers say, well, that ministry was built on a man. Show me a good ministry that God doesn't use a man in. Man of God. He holdeth the man of God. God's servants. Amen. The Bible says in his right hand, the word holdeth. Amen. Speaks of several things. Amen. First of all, it speaks of his possession. We need to be reminded that God's men are God's men. They are his possession. But boy, I tell you, this is conviction for a man of God too. We're not our own. Whoa, we don't pick and choose what we're going to do, where we're going to go. Hey, we're in His right hand. That speaks of His possession of my life and your life. Be careful about trying to dictate to this preacher what you think ought to be done and how he ought to lead the church and how he ought to conduct his ministry. He's the man of God. God will take care of him. He's in the hand of God. God's right hand, His possession. In His right hand He holdeth. The word holdeth there also speaks of His dominion, but it speaks of His ownership, and it speaks of His ordination of that man and His operations through that man and His protection of the man of God. All that in the, by the way, the right hand of God. You ought to read about the right hand and what it symbolizes in the Bible. God makes bare His arm. God's hand of salvation is moved against people. For good or for evil, God. Amen. I want to tell you, the hand of the Lord, He holdeth the seven. Amen. The Bible shows us here. Amen. He holdeth the seven stars in His right hand. I'm going somewhere if you'll pray for me. You know, His protection. Christ is walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That speaks of Christ's relation to the churches and to the church. But then He talks about the Lord being manifest in the church. He walketh in the midst, speaks of His manifest presence in the church. Let me say this. The seven stars that He mentions here, I believe there's an emphasis need to be put upon that. Why did God use stars as a picture and a type of His servants, the men of God? Why did God use stars? Because there's a likeness between stars and the servants of God. First of all, let me say tonight, their relation had been to the sun. They have a special relation to the sun. I don't care what anybody thinks or anybody says. God's men have a special relation to the Son of God that the average church member doesn't have. Now, when I say relation, I'm not talking about the new birth. No, He's saved, I'm saved, just like you're saved, born again, named written in the Lamb Book of Life. But when God puts His hand on a man and calls him to the ministry and gifts him with a ministry gift, that man becomes special to the Lord. Special. And God's people need to be reminded of that. Your preacher ain't going to say amen much because I'm going to preach about him tonight. I've seen preachers abused and misused and lied on and hurt in their families. I've had to go through some of that myself. Have you ever wondered why not many, many preachers' kids wind up in the ministry? Now, missionaries do many times. Evangelists do many times. But pastors... why don't their children sometimes have a heart for the ministry? Amen. And a hunger after the ministry. I tell you why. It's because they're abused. They have to suffer a lot of things from a lot of people that nobody knows nothing about except the preacher and his wife and those children. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. I may have come in on a load of pumpkins, but it wasn't last night. I got a little bit of sense. But let me say tonight, that man of God has a relation that have been like the stars to the sun. In other words, his is an exalted position. His is an elevated position. His have been in the sight of God. He has a ministry of mediation between heaven and earth. That's exactly where the men of God are. They are, yes, ministering here, yes, to people in this world. But oh, I'm going to tell you, if in God speaks to his servant, and through that servant speaks to the congregation. I know every one of us are priests and kings under God. Revelation chapter number, what is it? Chapter number 1, verse number 6 or 7. And he hath made us kings and priests unto God, and we shall serve him. We shall reign with him. We'll serve him. But let me say, the man of God, that man has a ministry of mediation. Let me ask you, you got a real problem going on in your life. Who do you call? Get him to pray for you. Who do you call? When one of your loved ones is, you think's having a heart attack and it's nothing but a gas pain, you've got them in the car headed to the emergency room, who do you call? You call your Sunday school teacher? Or do you call your preacher? You don't have to answer that. I know who you call. Hey, when one of your youngins, that man is wavered, they wind up out in sin, they're in an automobile wreck, or they wind up in jail, who do you call? You call the priest. Is that not right? Let's look at Revelation 1. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. I'm just saying, he's not a priest, he's a preacher. But let me say this, he sure carries on the ministry of mediation between us and God. Whoa, let me say tonight, and then you look at the back, and then the creation of the star over there in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse number 14. God said, look at it now, let me show you great truth here. I got to hurry. The Bible says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. He's talking about all the lights right prior to that, but here he makes two great lights. He distinguishes them. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven, what, to give light upon the earth. Who is it that God uses to shine the light of the gospel of Christ in the hearts of darkened and dead sinners? It's the Lord Jesus Christ using the man of God. He told those disciples, ye are the light of the world. Amen. Let me say tonight, you and I, Amen, as men of God, we are the light. Amen, I believe, Amen, the symbolism here, Amen, God created us. Let me say this, all the way back in the beginning. Now, I don't want to mess some of you up here. But God knew who I was before I ever was. He told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He said, I called thee. I ordained thee. Is that what he said? Sure. Let me say tonight, every man of God, this is why we need to reverence them and respect them and receive their message and what God has to say through us or to us through him. It's because of his creation, but because of his position. Lord, let me say, God. I don't have time to go back to the book of the Nehemiah. The Bible says they built a pulpit of wood. They called on that man of God, Ezra the scribe, and he stood upon that pulpit of wood and he opened up the word of God and he read unto the people the word of God. And I want to tell you, the man of God, Eben God, has ordained for that man of God, Eben, to do exactly that, to preach the word of God. Let me say, his position is, he's above the people. Above the people. Above the people. Don't ever forget that. Not just when he stands in the pulpit either. He's Brother Rackley. Pastor Rackley.
Yes, sir.
Preacher Rackley. Don't ever call your preacher by his first name.
That's right, preacher. Amen. That's good preaching.
He's a man of God.
Right. Yes, sir.
He's God's man. He's God's servant.
Yes,
Amen.
Yes,
he's not another church member. Well, he just got one vote like everybody else. Is that so? If that's the way you think, you need to get right with God. Because you certainly don't respect the preacher. He's got more than one vote in this church. He's got a voice in this church. He's God's voice. He's God's servant. He's God's man. The man of God. Amen. Well, the creation of the stars. I'm going to tell you, God directs the stars' motion. God positions them in their orbs. He fills them with light. And he influences them in how they perform. They are instruments in the hand of God. You know, those stars are important, aren't they? They're not too much important to us. In our day, we don't think much about the stars. Yeah, you go out there and look up. If it's not cloudy, you can see them. You don't study them. You don't think much about them. I mean, there's clusters of them over here. Maybe a big North Star over here. There's a little group of them here, the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, some different constellations. They're here and they're there. You know, God sometimes, he just threw a bunch of them up there. And then he's got one up here. You know, every one of those stars, what about their distinction? Do you think God just took up some moon dust and slung them out over the... No. Every one of them has a purpose. Every one of them has a place. Every one of them, God distinctly put them where in their orbs where he wants them. And he uses them in the capacity that he wants to use them. Every one of them are important. Some are a little bigger. Some shine a little brighter. Some are closer to the earth. Some are further away. But I want to tell you, every one of them are important to God. Over in our community, within Brother Benson Galloway was telling me just the other day, Brother Benson's telling me within about a 3-mile radius of the church, 3-mile radius of where me and him was born and raised and went to church all of our childhood, God called 21 young men to preach out of that community. 21 young men to preach the gospel. Wonder why that happened. You know why it happened. We had a grandpa that's a preacher. Yeah. Preacher Ed Summey, two old men, there's drunks. Yeah. Drunks. Lived in Tryon, North Carolina. God saved Ed Summey. Wasn't long he started preaching. God saved our grandpa. Joe Chapman's been here. He's told that 10 times. But I'm going to tell you this. They's wearing themselves out preaching. My grandpa pastored 3 churches. Amen. For a short time at one time. They were wearing themselves out, preaching, doing evangelistic work, holding revivals, pastoring churches. They were killing themselves. They started praying for God to raise up preachers. For God to raise up preachers. He is raising up churches, and there wasn't no preachers. And after Grandpa died, hey, right there in the community where they prayed. You've been over to Ed Summey's house, that old white house. But those men of God prayed, and God raised up a whole crowd, 21 preachers out of that one little old community there. God just said, I'm gonna raise up some preachers over at Middle Fork. Send them to Tennessee, hinder them heathens and salute a Hendersonville. Gonna send them here, send them there. Then their youngins is gonna come along, then their grand youngins, and I'm just gonna keep sending them out there and letting them shine. He sent one of them over here. Sent one over here to Rogersville. It been to shine. Oh, to preach the gospel. What about the creation of those stars? But what about the communication of those stars? Here's something. Now, you have to be careful about Wikipedia. I heard this the other day about 60% of what you read in Wikipedia is true. So, you know, I'm just going to give you a little something. I'm not going to give you much. But you know, them stars have 2 sources of light. Stars, first of all, are a reflector of a greater light, the sun. The light comes in, and the light is reflected out. But the other source of light, it's made up of different things. Hydrogen's one thing. What's inside that thing? What's inside of it? It's what makes it shine too. Hallelujah. Well, there's an external power source and an internal power source. And hey, I want to tell you tonight, God has anointed His servant, His preachers, with anointing of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel, to shine the light to this darkened world. Amen. Well, let me say tonight, what about the position of these stars in relation to the heavens? Whoa, they're always been somewhere between heaven and earth. Always. Let me say this. One night, this man had his little girl out. He was showing her some of the constellations. Had one of them big old scopes, you know, and telescope, and they were looking at the heavens. They looked for a good while, and they were just sitting down on a little bench on the patio, just looking up into the heavens. And the dad knew a lot about the different constellations, and he had explained a lot of different things to her, you know. All of a sudden, there's a great big one come out of the heavens. I mean, gone. Disappeared. And it tore that little girl's nerves up. She said, "Oh my, Dad, that one fell. It fell. It won't ever shine again. We'll never get to see it in the heavens again. It'll never give any more light. It's left its place. It's fallen." Oh, she just went on and on. She tore that little girl all to pieces that star fell. And that dad didn't know exactly what to do. So just in a minute, he got his little girl and he said, "Come here, honey. Come right over here. Come here." He said, "Now, I want you to look back in that telescope again." He dialed that thing up. He said, "Now watch this. Just keep a looking." He dialed it up and it went so far. Dialed it up and went a little further. Dialed it up and went a little further. She said, "They just go on and on and on." He said, "Honey, don't worry about that one that failed. There's so many more up there that hadn't fallen. There's some many out." Hallelujah. "Well, I've seen a few fall in my time, but it's not going to discourage me." Well, thank God, look at those that haven't fallen. Those that are still have been sailing the sea of time, preaching the gospel. They've not shipwrecked yet. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Thank God for those that stay their course. Oh, what about the reflection of those stars? They communicate light to your soul. Let me ask you tonight, where would you be? Hadn't been for a preacher. Where would you be tonight? Hadn't been for a man of God preaching the word of God to your heart. Where would you be tonight? Jail? Hell? On drugs? An alcoholic? Where would you be tonight? Sir, probably hadn't been for a man of God. You might not be sitting here beside your wife and your youngins. Ma'am, hadn't been for the man of God. Hey, you've probably left that deadbeat of a husband you thought you lived with many years ago. You'd have left him high and dry. Hey, hadn't been for the man of God, where would you be tonight? How many of you tonight got saved because a man of God, either this one or another one, preached the word of God to your heart? Raise your hand. Real high is a testimony. Some man of God preached the word of God to your heart. You got saved. Some of you raise your hand. Well, how'd the rest of you get saved? God said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the preaching of the cross of Christ is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us have been we that are saved. Have been unto you. It's the power of God unto salvation.
Yes, sir.
How'd you get saved? Well, the man of God reflects the word of God. Let me say this. What about the directions? Or no, let me just say the distinctions of the man of God. They're all of the stars. They're all different. They all are different. But they're all stars. Now, I'm probably different, a little bit different than maybe anything you've ever heard or seen. But that don't make no difference. Mays Jackson's about that big around. Billy Kelly's about that big around. Steve Ellis looks like a... Well, yeah, if he turned sideways, He's got to stick his tongue out or you won't be able to see it. He's so... See, God's got all kinds. He's got all kinds. You know, the thing about it, when it comes to preachers, a little bit different in the analogy here. About every preacher, every star wants to be like that big bright star. But there's responsibility in being a big bright star. More responsibility. More responsibility. I don't have time. They got more gases in them. There's more weight there. There's just a lot of responsibility to be a bigger star, to stay in your place and do what God has called you and made you to do. But oh, let me hurry. Amen. What about the direction of the stars? We don't look at it so much in our day. We got a GPS. I got a message on my GPS. God gave me this years ago. I ain't got time to deal with it. But did you know even the GPS systems work off of the stars, the heavens, satellites? They certainly do. They certainly do. They have a relation. Your GPS system works off of satellites. They work off of stars. Hey, they've got that thing calculated. They've got it all worked out. But I'll tell you, they give directions. Let me ask you this. Somebody mentioned, I preached this about 3 weeks ago on the salvation of wise men. You mentioned how they traveled 1,000 miles. Took them 4 months. 4 months. You know why? Because that's what Nehemiah said. It took them 4 months to get from down there in Persia, where they're at, to get up to Jerusalem, where they could rebuild the walls around the city and set the gates in their place. It took them 4 months. It's 1,000-mile journey across barren, dry desert and rugged, rough terrain. Those men traveled. But how was it they kept their bearings? The Bible said when they got to Jerusalem, they said, "Where is he that's born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." His star. Then 3 more times, it says the star, the star. Hey, I tell you, the star is what gave them directions. It's what guided them to the Savior. Hallelujah. That's exactly what, that's the motive of every preacher, every man of God. When he stands in the pulpit, opens up the Word of God, he has a ministry of guiding, of directing, of pointing, of leading men and women to the Savior. Hallelujah. His directions. I'll never forget what. Who was it? D.L. Moody was instructing a young preacher. He said, "Mr. Moody," he said, "I really have a problem, seems like, getting my messages from the epistles over to the people." He said, "I sort of get bogged down on the principles and laws." And he said, I have a problem seeming to get my message across. And he said, "Son, let me tell you this. There's one principle don't ever forget. Don't matter where you preach, don't matter what you preach, before you get done," he said, "you run this as hard as you can to Calvary, and you'll find everything you have preached fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Run to Calvary. Go to Calvary. Show them Jesus." The stars, the direction of the stars, the instructions of the stars have been the instructions of a true ministry, have been instructs people, have been and leads them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the reputation of stars. I'm just about through. The importance of those stars, the influence of those stars, significance. Lastly, what about the administration of those stars? Stars give light to men only in the dark. In other words, they have a period of time. Turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Real quick. Hebrews 13. I better deal with this one verse right here, or maybe a couple of verses right here in Hebrews chapter 13. Right quick. Let me get turned over there. The Bible says, "Remember them which are over you in the Lord." Did I not say something about stars being over, above? "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow." Here it is, considering the end of their conversation. They're not going to be here forever. Brother Rackley's not going to be here forever. Brother Barry, I don't know if you know it or not, but I mean, you're a little bit of age creeping up on us. I'm 58, be 59 in May. I can do about what I want to, but it takes me a day or two to get over it usually. Now. That's right. Strong as I ever was, maybe stronger now than I have been in the past. But I will tell you this, I'm not going to be around here forever. I never know when I'm going to preach my life's message. I never know. But I want to perform. I want to shine. I want to do everything I can. Hey, I've got a space, a period of time. We're living in a dark world. And there's only one hope for this world. And it's not the politicians. It's not the Republicans or Democrats or Independents. I had a fellow the other day. He said, well, I don't know who to vote for. I said, you don't know who to vote for? He said, no, not really. There's some of them sound pretty good. Some of them don't sound so good. I said, if you've got a crowd in there that votes on same-sex marriage and funding and Planned Parenthood and killing babies, I said, vote against every one of them. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. That crowd's in there now doing all that. Vote them out, praise God. Wouldn't hurt to have a change of command. That's right. There ain't but two crowds talked about in the Bible anyway, Republicans and sinners. That's full field in our day, buddy. You look around, that's full field in our day. You say I pronounced that. No, I didn't pronounce that wrong. That's what the Greek says. Is that what that Greek said? I talked to the other day anyway. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You give your trouble, your pastor trouble, you cause him a lot of heartache and headache. Some of these days he's going to stand at the judgment seat. God's going to bring you up there and he's going to ask that man of God, what about her? What about him? And he's going to give an account. Yes, sir. And it may not be profitable for you if you mistreat God's servant, the man of God. Amen. The Bible also says, salute them that have the rule over you. Salute them. Verse 24. I don't have time to preach on all that. Remember them, recognize them, respect them, reverence them, salute them. God says reverence them. What about these stars? God's stars. You know, on down here, he says to him that overcometh. Maybe you've got an attitude toward the men of God, toward the man of God. Maybe you've lost respect, or maybe appreciation for the man of God. Maybe he's done or said something didn't set right with you, and you've been aggravated ever since. You've been about half mad. You know what you need to do? You need to repent before God chastises you. Amen. He watches for your soul. He watches for your soul. He prays and calls your name. Amen. There's days I call every, listen to me, there's days I call every person in my congregation's name several times. If I pray three times, Brother Brad, I call everybody in my congregation's name, even the children. I call their name, take them before God. If they got a business, I ask God to bless their business. If they're pregnant, I ask God to watch over them and give them an easy delivery. A healthy baby and an easy delivery. If we're struggling with sin and I know about it, I take that before God. I pray for them. I'm watching for their souls. Stars are in the Next time you turn the radio on tomorrow, you hear that preacher, that man of God, he may be young, he may stammer and stutter, he may not have everything exactly right, but if he's God's man, you know what we need to do? We need to listen to him, and we need to pay them the utmost respect. Those stars. There's a lot more I could say. There's a lot more I want to say. But I want to say tonight, the servant of God, your pastor, he's God's man. Take care of him. Take care of God's servant. Take care of him. Take care of his family. Take care of him financially. If you ain't bought him a car, buy him a car. If you bought him a car, buy his gas. If you buy his gas, buy his insurance. Take care of God's servant. He'll take care of you if you'll take care of God's servant. He has given his servant to you to take care of him. But I think we give our preacher too much right now. Well, you're not right with God. If truth's known, you probably ain't giving him nothing except a hard time with an attitude like that. God's man, God's servant. He didn't choose this. I didn't choose it. He said it right. I'm a multi-craft. I was trained and taught, went to Blue Ridge Tech to be multi-craft. Amen. I can read electrical schematics. I can read blueprints. I went to school. I can weld. I can pipe fit. I can set pumps. I know how to align couplings with meters. I know, I can do a little bit of whatever I want to do. Change motors, change transmissions. I've always done it. Run a bulldozer, run a track hoe. Cleared a 125 acre tree farm in 3 weeks with a D6 high track dozer. 125 acres by myself, piled all the trees and burnt the brush. All I had to do was have somebody, they had to come and put fuel in that thing, keep it going. Listen to me. But you know what God called me to do? Preach. And I'm doing, can y'all tell I'm doing what I like to do? Hallelujah. I'd rather preach and eat when I'm hungry. But I'm afraid in our day, God's men. There's generations. My brother Brackley and myself, we saw our pastor abused and misused, and his family suffered at the hands of people who did not appreciate God's servants. And every one of them are dead and in a grave now that mistreated that man of God. Every one, only one, the only one I know of, Brother Barry, still left, and she don't even know who she is in a nursing home. Every one of them that abused, every one of them that abused our pastor and his family went to a premature grave. Every one of them. Every one of them. Now, I'm not talking about two or three neither. I'm talking about 8 or 10 or 12 went to premature graves because they mistreated God's man, God's servant.